In a world, four friends, one mission.
Mikey, what are you doing?
I'm doing the thing for the podcast.
It's not that hard, bud.
Dude, just say the name.
Fine. It's the Freedom Friends Podcast.
Damn, Scott. You got me feeling like an electrician over here.
Oh, God.
Because I want to remove those shorts and check your box.
All right. I'll watch.
John, you don't get a watch. You have to film.
We're sitting in a triangle. We've got sticks in our hands and drinks on the table. That can only mean one fucking thing. John, what are we about to do?
We're about to masturbate.
Ooh, it's the Freedom Friends Master Debate. And we'll get right to that after we get you to give us some money.
Guys, it wouldn't be the Freedom Friends if we didn't talk about our number one sponsor, Warfighter Tobacco. Obviously, you guys have seen us all smoke them. We're here to talk about a quality product that everybody can enjoy. The great equalizer, as we've called it, the Warfighter Tobacco Stick. And it's not just cigars. They've got humidors, travel humidors, cutters, lighters, everything you need to get started on that journey. Check out warfightertobacco.com and use that code FTFO. Score yourself that sweet, sweet 15%. If you want to know my personal favorite, I'm a 762 Field guy. I like that Sumatra, real nice and even keeled cigar. Great for us beginner smokers, right? And I'm told that these taste even better when you're listening to the Freedom Friends podcast. Now, back to the show. This episode is brought to you by Grill Your Ass Off. It's no secret. We're all middle-aged dudes who love barbecue. Grill Your Ass Off is our main go-to for our spices. That's what we use, man. Whether you're doing burgers on the grill, steaks, or my personal favorite, a little bit of pork belly burnt ends, right? They've got you covered on all of that. They also have salsas. They also have seasonings and spices. They got beer salts. They've got everything, man. Check them out. grillyourassoff.com/freedomfriendspodcast or use the code freedomfriendspodcast at checkout.
Now that the bill paying's over.
Yeah, it's so easy now.
Right?
Now we just get down to beating our meat.
I prefer to call it roughing up the suspect.
Yeah.
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 That's why I named it Rodney.
Yeah.
I prefer Floyd.
You're not supposed to choke it.
Whatever. Aren't you? Floyd is my favorite chicken.
Now that this one's been canceled. We're covering all the bases today, boys. Oh. Anyway.
Oh, God damn it. Justin, what's our debate topic?
All right, boys.
All right, boys.
I want to know, in y'all's opinion, when should kids move out of their parents' house?
12.
6 would be nice. I wish my kid was still sitting here. As soon as they graduate, like give them 3 to 6 months after graduation, and then they should be out of the fucking house.
By the time the next...
You're talking high school, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the time the next year of school would start.
Yes.
Yeah, they get the summer.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep. But when school goes back, even though you're not in it, fucking fuck off.
But this should be the whole like, and I don't have kids. Let's just, and now I'm staring down the barrel of 40. I can honestly say that's the best decision I ever made. There are shit you should have been squaring away up to this point.
Well,
like they should have a fucking job. They should know basic car maintenance. Like, and that's some of your shit as a parent you should have fucking instilled.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there going like, well, the education, fuck you. Fuck you. The education system is going to do what it's going to do. You are still a parent. You're still responsible for that fucking child. If they don't know how to figure out what side of the fucking car their gas tank is on, you failed. You're bad at your job.
So
like, there's an arrow on the dash.
Yeah,
I'm going to play a little devil's advocate to all of this, right? Because right now to buy a home at 8% interest compared to a couple years ago at 3% interest, you have to make a lot more money.
But I'm not saying they need to buy a house.
No, I agree.
But yes.
But you,
the other thing is houses were also $100,000 over market value when the interest rates were that low. So if you teach your kid actually how to do
that has not gone away.
But if you teach your kid how to do amortization, he's actually going to be able to track like, yes, the interest rate's a little higher. I'll buy it lower. I can refinance it once I'm out of, once I have 20% equity, it dodges all of the PMI. Like, teach your kid that fucking math. And that's not the school's job to teach your kid mortgage amortization.
It's not.
Then interest rates were... It's not like we have a record interest rate right now.
No, that's true.
Everybody likes to compare housing prices to the 80s.
Moving out of the house, the interest rates were a lot higher. Yeah,
18 to 20%.
Yeah, which was nuts.
I love all the stuff I'm seeing now about like, well, when my parents bought their first house in the 80s,
yeah,
you know, it was this much. And I'm like, and the interest rate was 14%.
Yeah,
it,
and like, ask them how much they made.
Yeah. But I'm not saying they need to buy a house and stuff when they move out. But, you know, if your kid doesn't know how to do his taxes, that's your fault. If your kid doesn't know how to fucking budget, that's your fault.
So I feel like...
But it's not that. It's that stuff is a bonus, I feel like. I think... So my kid just sat back down, my youngest. Austin, at what age do you think a child should move out of their parents' house?
That's right after high school.
And he said 18, 19. Why do you feel that?
Say again.
Because that's, it's after high school. All right. So I agree.
So you're not, when you're 18 or 19 years old, when you get out of high school, you're not having a 40 or 45 year old's life at 18 or 19. You are entry level with zero skills, zero life experience, and typically zero money in the bank.
But we don't teach that.
But the whole point, the point of what I'm trying to get at is it's the victim mentality, right?
Yeah.
You can go out two different ways. You can go, oh, fuck, I didn't realize that this is what life is. So I need to get my shit together and I need to create a life.
Yeah.
Or it's, oh my God, I can't believe that this is so expensive and this is that and these are these and oh, fucking woe is me, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to milk everybody and everything because I don't want to put in the fucking work to make my life better.
But that's the idea.
Well, you can look at it. I think what you're saying is you can look at it two ways as an 18 or 19 year old. You can look at it as, holy shit, this is going to be really hard. Or holy shit, I have a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? And it is. When you're eight, fuck, if I was 19 again, the opportunity, oh my God.
Yeah, but you're talking about 19
with
knowing what you know.
I know, right?
And that's why.
And so you try to teach your kids.
But that's that whole hindsight is 2020.
Yes.
And advice is the best thing in the world if somebody takes it.
If somebody takes it. So I try to teach my kids, right? Like at 19, if you do this, this, and this, success will follow you. If you do this, this, and this, those are the same mistakes I made. But
nobody listens to it. And I was one of them.
I know.
You know, I got told, you don't want to marry that. I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
I know what I'm doing. Yep. I've got this. Don't worry about it. Like, you don't know our relationship. And looking back on it now, and I had to do the whole fucking eat crow thing. And I called my dad and was literally like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Which is why we talk so much now, is that I got to the age where I was like, and it was like, look, admittedly, the way you gave it to me was absolute shit. Like, this is not the delivery method you should have gone with.
But do you think that he knew any better at the time?
No, God, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's the problem, right?
He's older and he's figured out, holy fuck, this is not how you teach
people. It's like, I've been in my fair share of therapists. And one of my favorite things to do when you get a new one, because they start at fucking day one all over again. And you're like, fuck, this is the millionth time I've had to fucking go through this shit. But my favorite thing to do is they're like, oh, well, let's talk about your childhood. And I'm like, yeah, it was great. And it sucked. And it was fucked up and it was perfect.
Yeah.
I was like, but you want to know something about childhood? Nobody gets out unscathed.
Nope.
Everybody in the fucking world carries their childhood bullshit with them.
Yeah.
That's it.
And do you know why?
So,
because your parents didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
No fucking clue. There's no book that says this is how you do life.
So I'm probably the best parent
he's ever had.
To my youngest. Than I was to my oldest.
You know what? Your youngest is the only one I like.
Well, but I feel bad for my older ones because I was young and immature And I didn't have the experience I have.
Young. You were young.
I was young
with the first one.
Fuck yes,
we. You were still young. A kid when you had a kid.
And he's probably the most squared away.
We're talking about getting out of high school and trying to figure out life. Imagine getting out of high school and being a parent and figuring out life.
Nope. I'm trying.
That's what he had to do.
Yes, and I'm trying to teach my kids to get out of high school and don't have to worry about being a parent.
Yeah.
It's like, put that off.
Yeah.
Don't,
as long as you can.
Don't be a fucking parent. Like, put it off. Like,
well, I look at it. So, like, you know, there's a 13 year gap between me and Justin.
Yeah.
Right. And I look at what I had the opportunity for, like, at the same age that the access my brother had to stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you were talking about my dad was 23 when he had me.
Yeah.
He was 36 when he had Justin. That is two different fucking people.
Two different
people. Yeah.
Like, that's two different people. That is not...
Like, my
that is not my dad little older. Mm. That's a different fucking human. My dad was still in college. Like,
my oldest is his stepson, right? And I was 19 or 20. When that came about,
he's a good dude though.
Yeah. But I'm a child.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a child trying to teach an infant. You know what I mean? Now I'm 45, 44, whatever the fuck. I don't even know how old I am. 44, I think. But my,
I thought it was 1,927,
but my youngest is 15. Right.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of experience to teach all the mistakes I've made.
But again, you were 30.
Yeah.
Like, I firmly believe you don't know what the fuck you're doing till about 30.
No.
The first three decades, you were fucking winging it. You were just...
Yeah.
Everything's new.
Your fourth decade, you're winging it. But you have a little bit of experience behind the wing.
All you have is reference.
That's it. It's like, oh, I tried this before. It didn't work. So I'm not going to try to do that again.
Yeah. How... And I guarantee you it was recently for all of us because we're all close enough in age that the experiences are all kind of the same.
Yeah.
How recently was it that you finally were able to look at it and be like, holy fuck, I'm the adult. Later on or whatever. Yeah. Like you have this day that comes along that all of a sudden you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I actually have enough behind me that I can make an informed decision now. Not that you're not still winging it. It's just that instead of guessing, you're making an informed decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like I want my kids, like when I tell my kids something, I wish that they would realize the weight behind what I'm telling them. Because I've made all of the mistakes. I've made all of the bad decisions already.
Yeah.
So if I can help you by telling you something, I wish they would acknowledge that, okay, what dad is saying comes from experience of failure and some successes.
And it does. Right? And some of it will stick. And to be honest with you, I think it's also, I do think it's healthy that some of it sticks. Core values stick.
Yeah.
Like, how to analyze your next decision.
Right.
Right. But like, he's a good kid. I like this.
Well, why don't
this one I like. But he's going to make mistakes.
Yes.
But he needs to.
Yes.
You've got to get burned to figure out that fire's fucking hot, right?
However, if he would have the ability to learn from what I'm telling him to avoid a mistake, that would be awesome. It'd be awesome. Right.
What we're trying to say is fucking call him.
Yeah.
Like, don't just wing it.
Like, we'll have conversations.
There's no shame in that game.
My advice comes from experience.
I'm going to tell you right now, there was a lot of decisions I made when I was roughly Justin's age, actually.
Without making that phone call.
That if I had made the phone call.
That your decisions would have been
holy
different.
Holy fuck. Fucking
same.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking same.
Fuck, you know, I'd be in a different spot. Justin, one thing I have to give him is that if he didn't call our dad, he called me.
Yeah.
Because I was old enough that it was like,
Well, he probably called both of you and then he
averaged, called both of us and was like,
usually I call one. If they answer, I talk to them. If they don't answer, I call the next one. Like, I'm always getting both their inputs, but yeah. I'm the same. Like, I'm also lucky where Jazz knows my mom is a play it safe, the whole nine. My dad is more of the risk taker. Yeah. So that was growing up. I always had that balance of I had one that was like, all right, be careful. Think this all the way through.
You are far more your mother.
Yeah. But my dad was like, yeah, it's a riskier decision, but it has more payout. And so like I was lucky and I had that.
Well, I think that.
But our dad's a gambler.
But yeah, that comes from being in the military, right? Like we're more risk adverse, right?
Sure.
No, I feel like we are.
Now, I'm telling you, when I was his age, I was still fucking bulletproof. That was still.
Yes.
That was, yeah.
You were very much risk adverse.
But
there's no consequence to any action.
That's not risk adverse.
Okay.
Risk adverse means that you are an adversary to risk. So you play it safe.
No. Risk adverse.
Risk adverse is playing it safe.
Okay. Well, I'm the opposite of that. I think in the military.
You were a gambler too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're able to take more risks.
I'm telling you right now, everybody sitting at this table right now is a gambler.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I'm kidding. We're all gamblers. I just had to say it.
We're all gamblers. But here's the deal. We have gambled enough times.
Yeah.
And been burned. And I mean like.
Yeah.
Look, we all know far more about each other than we've ever let loose on this show.
Yeah.
We have gambled it and lost it all.
Yeah.
Or gambled it and found ourselves in the position of like, fuck, this is where I wanted to be, but this sure as fuck isn't the consequence that I thought was coming with it. But the military mindset did the whole Semper Gumby thing. And it was like, you pivot and you figure it out. Right. Like we just figured out and we're driving forward.
Well, I think the very core of what the military teaches you, right, is when you leave high school, you join the military and you have a completely new life. When you get
A reboot.
It's a reboot. Completely new life, right? When you get out of the military, you instantly have a completely new life.
Yeah.
Right? So there's twice in your life that you've been taught that you can completely change your whole life, right?
Yeah.
So to risk something like starting a business, and even if it fails.
He's counting them. Look at the reset.
Yeah.
He's counting right
every
now.
7 years.
I have seven hard resets hard in my resets. Life.
Every 7 years, I've had a hard reset.
After the military, yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like a hard reset where I went from like, okay, this is kind of where I'm peaking to like, fuck this, I'm starting over.
Yep.
You know? Well,
since we've known each other, like how long have we been friends now? It
predates the show. You and I are close to 5 years.
It predates the show.
Yeah, you and I are close to 5 years. I moved here in January 2019, and it was like March.
It was March, whenever April. The soft opening
it was
of
March,
the first
April.
Location was.
Yep. Yeah. March, April 2019.
I showed up one day and they just didn't leave.
Yeah. I'd probably go back through the warfighter messages.
Much to Scott's chagrin.
But since
that date, mm-hmm. How many life changes have all of us had?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say every single one of us is in a better spot than we were when we became friends. Like all of us.
Yeah.
And
I've seen you hard reset twice. Like at least.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because when we met, I was a contract photographer and didn't know where my next gig was coming.
Yep.
And then I got a really good gig.
Yep.
And then left that gig.
And then had nothing.
And then had nothing. Was doing weird consultancy
and
shit.
And started your own shit.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I got another gig that we thought was going to work. And that, holy fuck. That one's not on me. That was a forced reset from somebody else. And then fucking rolled the dice and did my own. So, I mean, that's in the 5-year friendship that we've had.
I know, right?
Yeah. And I've watched you guys, you know. When I met John, he was living in a trailer off credit cards in the back of fucking Warfighter.
And now I'm living in a trailer in the back of Warfighter. Yeah. It's a vicious circle.
I mean, but now, like, since then, like, we're all homeowners. All the businesses are doing well. Like, everything has shifted.
You had
like,
me at homo.
That's where I was going with that, too.
But like Steve and I, the legendary Steve Dixon, who we've talked about on the show a lot, and friend of the show and friend of all of us here. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out with him Monday, and I had some amazing conversation with Steve, and the perspective that somebody at his age and his experiences and stuff is phenomenal. Yeah. And again, that comes with the whole, I'm old enough now to go like, all right, just shut the fuck up and listen to whatever this fucking man is telling you.
Yes.
Right.
Well, like you're old enough to understand that advice is coming from not somebody who thinks they know better.
No.
It's coming from somebody who fucking knows better.
Has literally been there, done that.
Like I'm at the point in my life now where the conversations that I have with certain people and like even fucking movies and TV shows, I'm not like I'm following the plot of the story or the show or the conversation,
but
I'm looking for the lesson.
Yep.
Yeah.
That comes out of it. But I'm looking for it now. We're past in my life. Like it would be like 5 years down the road. And I'm like, fuck.
Or even certain lines of dialogue and stuff, like from major media that gets said. And you just go like, son of a bitch.
So I've been trying to get Scott to watch the show Billions. Have you ever watched that show?
I know of it. We talked about it up after the ride.
Watch.
Yeah.
God damn it.
But I was having a conversation with him and we were talking about the military.
Yeah.
And cause he did his time and retired and then he went into private after that. And that's where he really saw his success.
Yeah.
But we were talking about what is the actual change that happens to somebody after the military?
Yeah.
And there's other ways that this change comes about, but the military definitely forces it quicker than any other system. And it's they are going to take you to a mental breaking point that you were not prepared for.
Yeah.
Honestly, the physical stuff, whatever. Anybody can kind of just, if you can shut your brain off, you can get through the physical part. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The mental fortitude that it takes to get through it at that speed is really what the Army's training in. So if you really want to know the purpose of basic training, talk to a drill sergeant after you're out. Like after you're out of training.
And I give my kids the whole, here's the game of basic training as they go into basic training.
Sure. Right? Like, but the true lesson is they are trying to break the idea that you are an individual.
Yeah.
You belong to something larger. Mm. That's what they're truly trying to break. Now that's a mental break. And some people can't fucking handle it.
Yeah.
The stress that comes with that is astronomical.
Yeah.
It's 9 weeks and it will destroy who you were in a good way. This is like going to the gym.
Yeah.
You are shredding muscle to build stronger muscle.
Yep.
And that's one thing that you need to kind of comprehend is you have to break it down to build it back stronger.
Yeah.
So, and we were talking about why vets only do two things when they get out. They either stand around with their hand out going, you owe me, gimme, 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 or they're all hyper successful.
That's true.
And it's the mental fortitude piece. Either the military broke you and you do not know how to function without somebody telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Or you built so much mental fortitude that regardless of what life throws at you,
I think you
know how to categorize it.
But I think that's, so if somebody got out after 4 years of the military, right? At that point, all they really know is I need to do what I'm told. I need to be where I'm supposed to be at a certain time. Like, right? But once you get past that 4 years, you get into a little bit of leadership and a little bit of, you know, like how to lead people.
Okay.
And so it might be 3 years. It might be 2 years.
I'll devil's advocate, right? So I'll play devil's advocate. Your argument is, if the military lets you get to the point that you can make decisions, there's a difference between that and junior. Because, like, I made sergeant in 2.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and whatever the year.
Now, granted, I was on a weird schedule.
Yeah.
As formulaic as the military is, there are always exceptions to the rule. Right. So, like, in my MOS, you could get promoted very quickly.
Yeah.
Because we just don't have the number of bodies we need for the billets that are supposed to be filled. I would agree with you on, if you can get to the point in the military where now you are responsible for something,
yeah,
it changes your viewpoint.
Yeah.
So what you're referring to is what I call the 30,000 foot view.
Yeah.
Which means you understand like the MDMP, the military decision-making process, and how to apply it to something without being told how to apply it.
Right.
Those people, when they go into the civilian world, can take the skills learned, that mental fortitude that they learned in the military, and now know how to translate it into the civilian world.
Yeah.
But the ones that were only in and were only the whole like, be here at this time, wear this, yeah, go here, do that, they get out and they're fucked. And those are the ones that are standing there with their hand out going, well, yeah, how much free shit can I get from people?
It could be, right?
Yeah, the professional
speaking
veterans
of that, I just fucking saw,
drive me crazy.
I just saw a post right here on some social media group, and they tagged Vail Resorts in the post. I said, Vail Resorts doesn't discount lift tickets for veterans. Fucking okay. So?
Yeah.
Like, did you join the Army so you can get fucking discounts? You know what I mean? Like, well,
I get asked constantly at my store if I do a military
discount. Well, I can't even tell you how many messages a day.
So I get so many questions. Do you do a military? And my response is always like, yep, here's how it works. You're in the military, so I give you 10% off. Mm-hmm. But then you pay me 10% more because I was in the military.
Yep.
And we end up right back at MSRP.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And that's us shaking each other's hands going, thank you for your service.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's my whole thing with the whole like,
but
should you move out right after high school? Yes, I agree. But you as a parent that expects your child to move out right after high school and be functional,
teach them
how to make fucking decisions.
Yeah. So I'm obviously the one here with the most amount of kids, right? And so I think as I'm raising my kids, I'm trying to raise them to be independent. Right. I want you to make decisions. I want you to fail.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to my advice if you can. Right. But I think the goal as a parent should be to make your kids want to be out of the fucking house at 18, 19 is when they graduate high school. Right. Now, that being said, one of my kids took a year longer. Right. But he had a goal. He's trying to join the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard, when we lived in Nebraska, the nearest recruiting office was Kansas City. He had to meet all these requirements to join the Coast Guard, right? So he hung out till he was probably
almost 20,
probably. Yeah, yeah. And I had no problem with that because he was working toward a goal to get out of the house.
You saw where he was trying to get.
Yes, yeah. And now, when that same kid, if he decides I'm going to get out of the Coast Guard, I'm going to let him have the opportunity to move back into the house as long as there's a fucking plan.
I got 90 days.
Yeah. Like I used
45.
I was in the Army. I was in the Army for almost 10 years. When I got out, I moved into my in-law's house, which was a fucking nightmare. Right?
It was essentially replacement at Fort Campbell.
It was, yes.
You get there, you hang out for fucking 30 to 60 days to figure out where the fuck you're
going. It
was
a necessary step in order to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do. Well,
I got out of the Army and I lived with
parenting.
I lived with my
mom. Yeah, but I think that's I want my kids out of the house. Like, I want my kids out of the house as soon as they can get out of the house, but not because I'm trying to be a dick. I want my kids out of the house as soon as they can be out of the house because I want them to be independent, good members of society that can contribute and be on their own.
I did that when I transitioned out.
I don't want a kid that is going to be dependent on me to be successful in life.
Yeah.
Like that, no. I want to teach my kids to be successful and independent.
Yeah.
And I think these people...
There's nothing wrong with that. And you're trying to train your kids to where, like, look, you have the skills to where at 18 or 19, you should want to get out because I have put the skills in you to make you confident enough to want to get out.
Yeah.
Now, the whole... Like, when I transitioned out, I did the same thing. We stayed with my in-laws.
Yeah.
Right up until I was making enough money that it was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And we got out. It happened after I got divorced. My parents were like, hey, you can stay with us. And I think it was like, you know, if you need 6 months or whatever, I think I was there 110 days
yeah.
and then had my own place and, well, and moved out and shit. And it was
like when you get out of the army, right? You have like,
you maybe like have some
I'm,
money in
I'm
the
getting
bank
out of the army suitcase. In Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck I'm going to buy a house in Nebraska where I moved to. Right. Like, so I needed, you need some time.
Yeah.
Right. And for my, you know, in-laws to put us up and whatever, see, like
no
I appreciate
that. That I was going to be living with. Yeah, it right. was a, you can kind of be a boarder for.
When I got, yeah. when I got out of the army, yeah. like I had no intentions of buying a house at the time because I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. But I knew where I was going to go, the area that I was going to move to. And it happened that my mom and stepfather and my sisters live there.
Yeah.
And so I got out and they were kind enough to be like, hey, you can live here until you figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And it was open-ended.
Yeah.
And so I was like, fuck yeah. And so I'm on terminal leave. So I'm still technically in the army getting paid.
Yep.
And I got out and it was probably about a month. And I'm like, I fucking can't do this anymore.
I don't remember how long I lived with my in-laws.
Yeah.
Like if I had to put a timeline on it, it was 3 months, but it felt like fucking eternity.
Yeah,
I but think it was, but it, I think because it was so independent.
I think exactly. I spent 5 years in the 5 months I lived with them.
Like it was went from I have total control over my life to now I'm going back to having not really rules over my head, but the
it's
mindset
still somebody of else's house.
Expectation.
Yeah. That's a better word yeah. for it. And
God, I wanted
it's to not that I couldn't do what I would normally do.
Yeah.
It's that out of respect, there's certain things I wouldn't do.
Right.
Because it's not my house.
Yeah.
And I like to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And yeah. if I can't come home at 3 o'clock in the morning shit faced, then
how long did we live in your parents' house when I got out of the army?
Maybe
6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So we lived there maybe 6 months and it was because we were looking for our own house to buy.
Yeah.
And like, that was it. Like it was literally, yeah. And I would extend that invitation to any of my kids.
As long as they had a plan.
As long as they had a plan.
And that was the thing is that yeah. one thing I will give my ex-in-laws was that I was working and then actively searching for something that was beyond what I was making. Like it was like a,
and I have my oldest stepson, right? He's married, has 3 kids.
Yeah.
Right. He has a different life than my single son.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I grew up where I got married early. I had kids. And it
changes a lot.
It changes a lot, right? Like I had to have way more responsibility to provide for a family.
Everything changes when you become responsible for somebody else.
You know, and I think if you can, you know, my advice to my children are don't hurry to start that family.
No.
But if it happens early, like my oldest son, like his life's great, right? Yeah. Like he's, you know, it's good for him.
So I feel like there's two types of people, right? So there's a type of people that they get married, they have kids early, they make self sacrifices to improve their life.
Yeah.
And then there's the other type of person is they get married because they had a kid early.
Yep.
And they don't have the mental fortitude to make the sacrifices to make life better for the family.
Yeah.
So they do shitty things for themselves that actually pigeonholes themselves into a corner against their family.
Yeah.
Because they're not thinking larger scale.
I look back on it, right? And I think, well, if I was single and I took as much initiative as I did to support a family, Like, how much more successful would I be as a single person?
But if you were single, you wouldn't know.
But if I was single,
you wouldn't have the drive.
I wouldn't have the drive. Yeah. I wouldn't
You wouldn't know what you needed to do to make the family successful.
Because I could have taken the easy street and just.
I've always been like that though with the people that I know that are my age that have kids and they're just like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And it's like, but I've always equated it to, okay, so you have a house.
Right.
Right. And you want to build an expansion onto the house. Mm. So you come out and you have a surveyor look at it and they go like, okay, you want to put this expansion on, but your foundation is fucked. It can't support the foundation. It can't support the expansion.
Right.
And you go, don't care. Put the expansion on anyway.
And
it's like, well, the expansion's doomed to fail now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if your foundation isn't strong enough to put this expansion on, then what the fuck are you doing? Like you should still be working on the foundation.
Yeah.
You don't have it. You can't do this.
And what he's saying is every expansion is getting her pregnant and having another kid.
Yeah, a marriage doesn't fix a relationship and having kids doesn't fix a marriage.
Nope. That is exactly right.
And you know, I've got some good friends now and stuff that you know, have newborns and all that shit. And they're like, well, I can't go do this. I can't go do that. We can't afford to do this. We can't afford to do that. And I'm like, if any of your phrasing is ever, I can't afford to do this, why the fuck are you having a child?
Or why are you still working where you work?
I don't disagree. You have to.
You can't have that child. The child should not be we have to change everything to afford to keep this child alive. Like you should not be, your quality of life
now,
should not be given up on you to have.
I'll argue that a little bit.
But there's two sides to that same coin though. Right. Because
without the child, I don't know if I would have had the motivation,
but I also know people that were on a path.
Like saying you don't buy a fire extinguisher until your kitchen's on fire.
It's probably not untrue. Sometimes
I know people that were on a path, path of life.
Yeah.
That was like, fucking easy street. And then they had kids. But their mindset changed.
Sure.
Right? I didn't understand it until I had very, very in-depth conversations with these people. Because their mindset changed to, my life isn't about me.
Their values. Yeah.
My life is about my kids.
But I can say I've seen the opposite.
Yeah.
Where I've seen people on the path to destruction.
Exactly. But it gave them that reason.
And they had a child.
It gave them that reason to have that mindset.
Holy shit. These are.
They have a different driver. Their values change over.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I don't like is that fucking people with kids that then will look at like my wife and I. And we'll go do something like, must be nice. And I'm like.
Actually, it is.
It's one.
Yeah.
Well, it's fucking great.
No.
But I didn't tell you to have kids.
Right.
Right.
It's way harder to not have them.
I've never looked at somebody like you and I've never thought that. However, the lessons I will teach my kids are.
Have your shit squared away.
You can be like this and not have kids.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to have kids and this is a different life you're going to live.
Like I hear it all the time to me because of the people I know, the things that I'm involved in, the things that I do, right? It looks like I have a fucking phenomenal life. And don't get me wrong. I fucking love my life. I get to do some epic fucking shit.
Yep.
Right? But I'll get back from a dive trip. Or I'll get back from a hunting trip.
And then somebody goes,
must be nice. And I look at him dead in the fucking eyes. And I'm like, you know what? It fucking is.
Yep.
It's really fucking nice. But you want to know why? It's because of the fucking 20 years of bullshit that I had to fucking go through to get to where I'm at right. fucking it's now. So like it's fucking nice.
I wasn't born with this.
But I earned it.
Yeah. You want to know why I have an overpriced fucking Harley in my garage? I busted my ass and I made sacrifices of other places. Now,
and you know what? The only people that are going to give you shit about that are people that don't know you.
None of my friends have ever gone like, well, this was stupid.
On the other side of this, right? It's very nice. He's a very good one about coming up. Like the hug he gives me.
It's genuine.
is genuine.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate that. And if, like...
Look, it's two different rewards.
It's two different...
100%.
It's two different rewards.
100%.
Yeah. Both lives can be very, very rewarding.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. I have, from a very early age, said I had no desire to be a dad. It's just not something I want to do.
Yeah.
I thanks to that one, I got the extended test drive, right? Now, do I have any regrets about being the third parent in the family or anything? No.
Yeah.
Justin and I have a great relationship. I have amazing memories of him, of me being so much older than him and having that time with him and all that kind of stuff. But I thoroughly enjoy just being the big brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want it. I'm looking forward to being an uncle. Like, that's going to be fucking the shit I'm going to teach that kid. Holy shit. Yeah. Like, I'm thoroughly enjoying, like, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the role I'm built for. I have a very rewarding life. I love my wife. I live for her.
Right.
I work my ass off, and I have, you know, my business I'm doing now, the other one I'm setting up. Like, everything I do is to, how do I continue to spoil her? She's my priority.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be a dad. I admire those that live for that. The ones that you can look at them and you go like, you are not you. You are a dad.
Yeah.
And you want to be that. Like, that is your defining principle.
Now, I'm going to talk about, a lot of people will not agree with me. I don't.
Please say you're not going to. Please say don't lose yourself because you're a dad.
I'm going to say that.
Fuck yes.
I'm going to say that. Right.
Fuck yes.
Like, just because you become a parent,
don't lose yourself.
Right. These helicopter parents were, it's all about the kid. No, fuck that kid.
Yeah.
Right. And I say that in the best way. Right.
Look,
like, yes, you're a priority for me. However,
you can't be a good dad if you're not healthy. If you're not you.
Well, not only that, but what I'm teaching my children by doing what I'm doing is, like, it costs me as a parent to be a business owner.
Yeah.
It costs me to be a parent when I was in the military, right? I missed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right. But I hope they look back on that. And I've always said that my kids are either going to respect the hell out of me when they're older, or they're going to kill me in my sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I'm hard. I'm a hard dad.
Well, so I can attest to what you're saying right now with my stepfather, because growing up when I was, you know, high school and, you know, just before high school, when you're old enough to be able to, like,
to be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can think through things, but you don't really have the right mindset, but you come to a conclusion based on quote unquote logic.
Are you kidding me? I fucking knew way better.
I knew everything.
Than any of
them. I knew everything when I was in high
school. When I was a senior in high school, I fucking.
And when I was in high school, my mindset was my stepfather's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Straight up. He's a fucking asshole.
So mine was.
I fucking hate that guy. Fuck that guy. He's a fucking asshole.
Mine was the flip.
Right. But after I got out of basic, it didn't even take me going the whole time in the military. When I got out of basic training and I went back home on leave.
8 weeks of being an adult.
So I left for basic training in August. I came back in December for Christmas leave. That was when my basic was over. Right. And I went and got a bottle of booze. I don't even remember what the fuck it was. It was probably some trash fucking whatever.
Yeah.
And we sat out back and we actually had a cigar and we're just making drinks. And I apologized to him. And I was like, I'm sorry for being a fucking dick to you. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I get now why you were a dick to me.
Yeah.
It's because this is what you knew.
Yeah.
Because you were prior military. I mean, he was in the Navy, so it was whatever. Yeah. But, like, because you were prior military and you were in long enough where you're in a leadership position and you used a lot of the things that the military taught you because you didn't fucking know any better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, now, after going through a little bit of the military, it all clicked. It all made sense. Sorry, I was a fucking dick. Yep, I used to write notes. I fucking hate you. And I'm like, I really don't hate you.
I got taught how to be a parent at 19 years old by the fucking army.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
but and the kid that you had a parent was a year or two younger than you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
See, growing up, mine was the flip.
So
my stepmother was the infinitely patient, whatever weird shit I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, and I was that kid. I was the one that was like, I want to dye my hair. I want to fucking do this, that, and the other. And my stepmom was the one who was like, not fucking hurting a soul. I'll help you do it. And then my father, the fucking career officer, was the whole like, no, you daughter. So my father and I were like, come to blows, literally at each other's throats. I mean, like multiple fights, the whole nine yards. And my stepmother was the one that was like, you want to dye your hair? Dye your hair. You want to listen to that music? Listen to that music. You want to be into fast cars? Be into fast cars. Like you figure out whatever the fuck you are.
Yeah.
And I'll help you do it. I don't even want to know the number of fights that caused.
Between them?
Between them. Yeah. Because I know, looking back on it now, looking back 25 fucking years, the number of times she went to bat for me.
Right.
Which is why even now, I still call her on her birthday and I still I still have a relationship with her. She's an amazing woman. But it wasn't until later on.
Yeah.
That I looked at my dad and went, okay, I kind of get what the fuck, why you were trying to temper all of this shit that I was trying to do.
So you bring up a story about dyeing your hair. This one dyed his hair one time. And the advice I gave him was, this is going to cause you problems.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it, go ahead. But know that it's going to cause you problems. Did it cause you problems? What kind of problems did it cause you? Yeah. People fucked with you, right? So my advice was, don't do this.
Yeah, I was a bit darker than your kid, though.
Yeah.
Mine was kind of the whole, maybe don't make fun of that one, because...
Yeah.
I was a bit dark. But I'm not going to lie. She was at every concert I wanted to go to, everything. So, she drove me to them. I mean, this is the woman that dropped me off to see an Anthrax and Megadeth concert. Yeah. This is that woman.
Yeah.
Where my dad was like, no, it's fucking... And she was like, no, he's not... Yeah. He's not in jail. He's not whatever. Let him figure it out. And it wasn't until later that I figured out that my dad, he had his intentions. Was it handled properly? Yeah. No, but he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. You know, his next child was two. it was like.
And he was just mad.
Fuck.
Like. And,
you know, and then I'm not going to lie. My mother didn't have enough rules. Like my actual mother.
Yeah.
And some of that, looking back on it, was so I'm the child of a bipolar mother. We're going to get real here for a second. So she was an unmedicated bipolar, committed felony level crimes, watched her get arrested, watched her get hauled off by U.S. Marshals. That's how I ended up living with my dad. That shit as a child, that is major disruption. I had too much freedom.
Right.
Because I was being treated like a peer instead of a child.
Yeah.
And then I went into my father's household and he didn't know what the fuck to do with it. It was just all of a sudden, here you go, have a 13-year-old. Yeah. What the fuck was he going to do with me?
Age.
Right? And I was, looking back on it, and again, how many counselors, how many whatever, you look back on it and go, he didn't know what the fuck he was going to do. And so it was just put the hammer down.
Yeah.
We'll just lock all this up.
I just got to straighten him out.
Yeah. And I was old enough at that point to go, fuck you, Will. And so, and and then you had my stepmother that was there going, we can't just, he's already had everything ripped out.
Yeah.
We have to give him some level of freedom to figure out what the fuck is going on. Yeah. And so that led to all this contention. Looking back, he was just trying to be a good dad.
Yeah.
That's all that was. It was just but he was childless. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then I came along. I just inserted myself into this household. He was born. So now he's got a teenager and a newborn.
Yeah.
And he's going, I have no control over any of this, right?
Yeah. He's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go to work early. Yeah.
And so, that's a nightmare scenario. Yeah. And But you can't, at 40, it's easy to look back and go, fucking hell. Like,
I will never, I will never be accused of treating any of my children like peers.
No.
The only time I've treated them like peers is when they have graduated and been out of
the only, but that situation, but that situation is, you know, that was a severe chemical imbalance. That was, you know, no medication. That was, you know, my mother thought the idea of homeschooling was just not sending me to school.
you know, that's awesome. You know, that explains so much.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's why, you know, it's easy. I find myself checking myself because now my dad wants to call me like 7 times a day and all this kind of stuff.
Which
and
is
it's like,
awesome.
Yeah. It is. And when I can take the logical look at it, it's like, I understand why now I'm your go-to for a phone call, so all that kind of stuff. But, you know, at the time.
So as a parent, I cannot wait until this one's
21.
21.
Oh God.
Right.
I'm on that Vegas trip.
Yes. Like I'm doing
this. Can we plan that now?
I'm doing this.
Can we plan that now?
Yes.
Just,
you know, like
I've known him since he's born.
Yes.
Like I'm fucking drinking with him. Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah. You were like a kid when I met you.
John knew my oldest when he was four.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, like I can't wait until I am the dad.
Well, I've been at the 21 for one of them.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
So you pawned him off on me, you fucker. You should go tell Jazz all about this. Son of a bitch.
Just pull the string.
Sit down.
Yeah. He's grown up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yes, move out early, but if you're a parent, prep them, give them the tools.
Well, you should raise them to want to move out early.
Yes, but still give them the tools.
Give them the tools to be successful.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't, don't hold it against them. Just they don't know.
And sometimes those tools are a fucking very real, hard talking to.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you fucked up, I'm going to fucking tell you fucked up.
Right.
And I'm going to be very, very mad about it. And then the next day or an hour or two later, we can have a conversation about why.
Yeah.
But initially, I'm coming off the fucking rails.
Yeah.
Because you fucked up. And I think that's something they need. Right. And then we'll sit down and talk about why.
Yeah.
You know, but this whole super nice, like, well, oh, you made a mistake. Let's talk about it. No, I think, I'm going to go fucking crazy.
I think the hardest thing is as a kid growing up is learning the consequences of your own actions.
Yeah.
Because there's so many fail safes to keep you from hitting the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's for a reason. Like no kid wants to watch or no parent wants to watch their kid hit the bottom.
No.
You know what I mean? So they're going to put a safety net. They're going to try to help. They're going to step in. They're going to try to resolve whatever the situation is to make sure that that doesn't happen. You know?
Then you hit the age where all of a sudden you're giving parental advice to your parents.
But the downfall, and that makes you feel the worse. Downfall of that though is that learning curve stopped, right? That learning curve stopped when the help stepped in.
Yeah.
Now some people can adapt to it. And they see the end goal and they see that help and they see, okay, if this didn't happen, this is how it would have went.
Yeah.
Right. But it's really hard to get a younger person to understand that.
Well, and I think it's important that as a parent, you don't just go crazy on your child when they fuck up. It's important to explain why.
Yeah.
Calmly. But initially you can go the fuck off.
I mean, there's an ask you that's deserved if it's deserved.
Yeah. It has to be.
Sometimes the fear of God needs to be instilled.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, the ultimate goal, I think, should be what I just said. I think ultimately you want to get to the point where it's like, oh, I should call my kid and see, like, can they help me with this?
Well, like,
because that means that you have raised a child at that point that can help you through a decision. Like, I think ultimately as a parent, you should have the goal that your kids are peers.
Well, yeah, once they're adults for sure.
And I'm not talking 18, 19. I mean, like I'm 40. My dad calls me about it, this, that, and the other, because at this point it's you now have enough experience.
Yeah. I'm going to bounce this off.
Let's bounce this off of each other. You know, it'd be like me calling you and going, hey, I'm thinking about this, that, and the other.
Yep.
I don't necessarily need you to tell me what to do. I just need somebody else to kind of hear me out and see, you know, what they think.
And the funniest thing about all of this is, right, we bring them into the world. We wipe their ass. You know, we fucking... But when we're leaving this world, they're wiping our ass.
Yep.
Yeah, it's full circle.
Yeah, it's a
fun. There was things like circle. My dad has a nickname for me, and for a long time I fucking hated it. I hated it. hated the nickname. And now I'm not gonna lie. Every time I call him or he calls me and he fucking says it, it's one of those like, all right, you're still my dad. Yeah. There's like a comfort to it almost of like, fuck, I hated this nickname for so long, and now like he answers the phone and he says it every time, and I'm like, all right, that's still my dad. And I know if my world is on fire, I could call him and, you know, go like, fucking.
Hey, my fucking world's on fire.
Yeah. And I now know I have the trust that my dad would go, okay, what's step one? And we would figure out how to put those fires out. Like,
right.
But it took me a long time to get comfortable with that. Like, and, you know, so if you're a parent listening to this and you feel like you're fucking up, you probably are, but you probably aren't.
Or if you think we're fucking up, let us know.
Yeah. But,
if you listen to this whole episode and you're like, these guys are fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. Fucking let me know.
Come here.
Right there, buddy.
Yeah. No, come here.
Right. No, put him on the mic.
No, right here.
Oh, get over there.
We'll share one. Come here. All right. So this is my youngest.
He's a good kid.
Say hi. Hello.
Right. He's genuinely a good kid. I actually, you did okay with this one.
Yeah. He's been very witty his whole life.
Oh, God. That's why I can't wait to go drink with him.
But yeah, as an episode we did about kids moving out of the house, I'm so happy you're going to move out when the day you turn 18.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Anyways.
Let's sign this off.
Here. This one's to you for being a dad.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. I'm fucking glad it wasn't me.
Me too.
To all of our other freedom friends out there, the three little things, I don't know if they help with parenting, but fuck, at least one of them does.
Oh, the more I drink, the better they are.
The first one.
Smoke on.
The second one,
the
buddy,
more I drink, the better behaved they are.
There it is. So continue to drink on, and god damn it, freedom the fuck on. See you guys later.